more of Lake Effect Now. I'm Mitch Teich. Before the break, we spoke with Nathan Meckel, a contemporary musician and composer who has added the genre of alt kids music to what he does. Our next guests are also taking a diversion from their usual musical pursuits to explore the legacy and influence of 19th century American composer Stephen Foster. It is a pretty substantial departure for Ryan Schleicher, the bassist and vocalist for the Milwaukee band Juniper Tar, and for Christopher Porterfield, the singer-songwriter behind the band Field Report. Schleicher is bringing together a whole group of Milwaukee musicians on Saturday at Alverno College for a one-night exploration and response to Foster's material. Schleicher and Porterfield joined Lake Effect's Bonnie North in Studio C1 and started with a tune Foster did not write called In the Family.
Your grandfather did lay years before his time. I was just a toddler when I first heard his lines. You sat me on your lap, a poet's voice untwined. Sorrow faded yours within, looking out at mine. All the times we laughed, all the times we cried, I will remember them and always cherish them.
In the Family by the band The Wilderness of Manitoba. But Ryan Schleicher is here in the studio performing it along with Chris Porterfield. Gentlemen, thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This project is so interesting because people probably know Stephen Foster songs without knowing that it's Stephen Foster or who the heck Stephen Foster was. The music that he wrote is so different from what either of you do in your other musical lives. How did you get interested in this guy?
Well, I became friends with David Ravel, the director of Elbow Room Presents, and I won't say it was hoisted upon me, but we tend to get together every few weeks or so and just have a couple brown beverages and just talk about art and life and music and anything that we feel like talking about. But he was just super fascinated with Foster, and through these conversations, I became fascinated with Foster. And, you know, I'm like most people where I know all of his songs. I know who he is. I know what he did, but I did not know the depth or the breadth of what he created. And I don't know if David was recruiting me, but I took it upon myself to take on this idea that we had been discussing.
So the idea behind this project is that taking musicians a lot like yourselves who wouldn't normally work with Stephen Foster songs and trying to understand them in a new way, bringing them into the 21st century, is that fair?
Yeah, the curation of the people involved, I wanted to span a lot of different genres and styles. There's hip-hop producers, there's punk rockers, folk rockers like us, whatever you want to call us. But again, going back to sort of how everybody's indirectly influenced by him because he was the first real, you know, American pop star. He was the one that sold the sheet music that got into everybody's hands that everybody experienced. And I think that legacy continues now. So I think Chris was one of the first people I thought of because one of my criteria for selecting people to be involved was just you had to be really thoughtful, number one, in the way you write songs. And number two, I wanted people that would really dig in and take it seriously and kind of explore different aspects of Foster, but not just show up, learn some lyrics, and play a song.
So, Chris, for you, now that you've gotten into his music and started performing, do you see any influence that you weren't aware of in your own writing from him?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Well, I mean, I was sort of peripherally aware of Foster for several years now. A lot of people that I've listened to have covered Foster songs from time to time. Dylan did Hard Times. Emmylou Harris has done some Foster songs. John Cash did some Foster songs. And, of course, he wrote, you know, Camptown Races, My Old Kentucky Home, Oh, Susanna, you know, so all these things that are in the canon. But when Ryan reached out a while ago, I got really excited about the opportunity to really dig in and take a kind of an academic approach in addition to a creative approach to this thing. And so I just started immersing myself in Foster songs and pouring through, you know, tens if not hundreds of lyrics, some of them published, some of them not, and just trying to find things that I thought that I could inhabit also and that resonated. And then going through that process and doing a lot of biographical research, I ended up writing a song sort of in his voice as well. And it's just been such a cool experience taking a different approach creatively.
One of the other benefits of doing this is, I think for both of us, it was just to step away from our current projects for a little while to get, number one, get perspective on those projects, but two, to immerse yourself in something else that can eventually be brought to the projects that we have permanently.
It's also fascinating to me to think about Stephen Foster. I mean, like you say, he was the first American pop hero, but we tend now, I think, to relegate him to not relevant to today somehow.
Oh, he totally is, though. He totally is. I mean, his lyrics, for one thing, they're beautifully written, absolutely beautiful. And he incorporates a lot of naturalistic elements that I think are really easy to be drawn in by. And the way that he chooses his words is wonderful. But also, one of the things that I appreciate the most about him is that he really thought that he could do good with his music. He really thought that he could be sort of a voice to guide. He was writing primarily before, and he passed away in the midst of the Civil War. And while he's known for writing a lot of songs about the South, he was actually a Northern guy, and he was very much anti-slavery. And while some of his songs did have sort of the minstrel theme, he always treated his narrators with dignity. And he really humanized the voices of these people that in most of the culture were being caricatured. And just through that, through struggling with that and being thoughtful about that and deliberate about that, I think he helped possibly shift public opinion.
And he really struggled with how his songs were being used within the minstrel culture. Some of his most popular songs of the time were because minstrels took them and ran with them. And as Chris said, if you read through a lot of the lyrics, they could be construed as a little bit offensive if you don't dig into them. If you just kind of cursorily glance at them, they're challenging. And that's going to be kind of a big part of the show, is tackling how his songs, within the context with which they were written, how racially charged they could be, were, or are. I think the context is extremely important, because one of the things I plan to talk about at the show is how it was kind of as awful and horrible as minstrelsy was and continued in some countries into the 70s, like the UK. I think BBC had a minstrel show on until 1974, which is just insane to me. But it really was the first chance for cultures to mix musically. It was not acceptable for Caucasian people to play black music in the 1850s. But if you
And vice versa.
If you put blackface on, you could play that music. And you saw that later on in vaudeville, where like the Jewish vaudeville were constantly frequenting the African-American vaudeville scenes and vice versa. So there's this interplay between races, like they're in ethnicities like there hadn't been before.
And do you think that that was something Foster was trying to encourage?
Based on things that I've read and some of the letters that he's written and some of his journal entries, yeah, he struggled with that. And he was really trying to be thoughtful about that. And he really believed that everybody was equal in the eyes of God. And he was looking forward to living in a world where that was a reality.
Well, let's hear one of his songs, because I know you have one of his prepared for us today. Tell me a little bit about the song before you play it.
This one isn't so much of a socially charged anything as much as just a, ugh, winter sucks.
I think we can all feel that one.
Yeah,
right now.
It felt appropriate, and also it. I mean, it taps into one of the things that I sort of am drawn to about him too, in that a lot of his stuff is really kind of a bummer. He was a depressed guy, and he thought about his own mortality quite a bit, and he ended up in this song being prophetic about it. The song is called "I Would Not Die in Springtime," and well, you'll hear in the final verse, but he died in January. So there's, I don't know, there's a sadness, but there's a hope in it too. And there's sort of a love of life and, well, I don't know. I'll just do it. I would not die in springtime when all is bright around and fair young flowers are peeping from out the silent ground. When life is on the water and joy upon the shore, for winter, gloomy winter, then rains over us no more. And I would not die in summer when
music's on the breeze, and soft, delicious murmurs float ever through the trees. And fairy birds are singing from morn till close of day. No, with its transient glories, I would not pass away. And when breezes leave the mountain, its balmy sweets all over, to breathe around the fountain and fan our bowers no more. When summer flowers are dying within the lonely glen, and autumn winds are sighing, I would not perish then. But let me die in winter, when night hangs dark above, and cold the snow is lying on bosoms that we love. Ah, may the wind at midnight that bloweth from the sea chant mildly, softly, sweetly a requiem for me. Chant mildly, softly, sweetly a requiem.
Chris Porterfield with I Will Not Die in the Springtime by Stephen Foster. He actually wrote that under a pen name, though, didn't he?
Yeah, Milton Moore.
Milton Moore, interesting. Mm-hmm. I wonder why.
It's a combination of John Milton and...
Thomas Moore?
Thomas Moore, thank you.
Yeah, Death in the Cathedral.
Yes.
So what a gorgeous song.
Yeah.
It is just so beautiful. You forget when you don't listen to his music how incredibly just gorgeous it was.
Well,
is.
And there's so much ache in that.
Yeah.
And even at the end of it, like, he's sort of grappling with his own mortality and depression. And you can hear sort of the distance from loved ones there too. And it's just such a he died a tragic death, away from his family, broke and drunk, and I think that song sort of touches on some of the things he was feeling.
And yet so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Just a beautiful melody. The words, as you said before, the way he puts words together, you know, you forget mm-hmm. how incredibly talented he was.
Yeah. He was the proto-American songwriter. Everybody that came after is trying to chase after what he did.
Well, what do you hope that audiences coming to see this are going to take away from it? Because obviously the musicians have already taken a lot from it because of everything that you've done to explore him and his work and your response to that. How about an audience who may not know much about Foster at all?
I want them to walk away and never remember Foster for Oh Susanna as they learned it in grade school. You know, because that's where most people get introduced to Foster and why most people think he's not as relevant or might be hokey, because you're singing these songs in third grade. You're singing Camp Town Races and Oh Susanna. But you're singing them in this sort of 25 other little children, so of course you're not going to take it seriously by the
doo-dah,
time you're
doo-dah.
16.
Yeah.
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 And I really want them, or hope for them, to really grasp the depth, whether it be societally, how he approached his life, his family, his culture, how he tackled racial issues, and really importantly is lyrics from songs like Chris's that people probably don't even know the song, but also lyrics that you've sung 1,000 times in those children's music classes that are just heartbreaking and you never knew it before. Like, the sun's so hot I froze to death. That is just – that is one of the best eight word or how many words are in that sentence. I could never write anything that coherent.
So evocative.
Yeah.
Once this performance is over, are the two of you going to be incorporating any Stephen Foster into your current projects? Can you let him go after?
You mean directly?
Directly, yeah.
I think One of the songs that is being performed is Chris DeMay, who's the keyboard, piano, third guitarist for Juniper Tar, and he wrote an original also about the end of Stephen Foster's life. And I can't imagine not playing that all the time once this is done. But, you know, I also can't imagine not wanting to play the Hard Times version that we're going to do, at least live. I don't know that we'll ever do anything recorded, but at least live. These songs don't go – they don't go away in your mind or within our culture. They're just there. They're ever present.
Yeah, I've already played Springtime a couple times solo. And then, I mean, we'll see – I'm sort of culling together new field report material. I'm not sure if the song I wrote for this project will work for that one. It could be worth a try.
I'd love to hear this one that you did, the I Will Not Die in Springtime. I'd love to hear that with the harmonies and a full band.
Yeah, it will be. If that's
yeah. You should come to the show.
I plan to. try to keep me away. It's Stephen Foster and it's you guys.
That's one of the reasons we did everything so stripped down today is because we didn't want to give away the show and we wanted that sort of that feeling you just had. I want to hear it with band and harmony.
Well, I'm very much looking forward to the show. I can't thank you enough for coming in and playing, giving us that little bit of a taste of his music and what you're doing in response to his music. Best of luck with the show.
Thank you so much, and thanks for having us.
Yes, thank you.
Ryan Schleicher and Christopher Porterfield are Milwaukee musicians who will participate in the Foster Project tomorrow night at Alverno College's Pittman Theater. They spoke with Bonnie North, and there is more information from a link at wuwm.com/lakeeffect. That is our Friday show. We are produced by Dan Harmon, Stephanie Lecce, and Bonnie North, with production assistance from Eleanor Peterson and Sam Willis. John Stralecki is our studio engineer. We're back on the air for Lake Effect Weekend tomorrow and Sunday afternoon at 3. And let's return now for just a second to Ryan Schleicher and Christopher Porterfield, who were inspired to write a little tune in the Lake Effect Performance Studio for us. We'll hear it right now.
If you appreciate culture, then Lake Effect is home. So keep those pledges coming in.
If you appreciate Lake Effect every day, call 414-227-3210.
Or visit wuwm.com and donate right now.
Stay tuned. Fresh Air is next on 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio, NPR in Milwaukee. It's 11 o'clock.